If you don't own a Bible, take the one of the ones we have, or if you know someone who needs a Bible, take one, give it to them. Okay, so 2 Timothy, and so actually Reuben is supposed to be preaching this morning, and last night, Michaela's got appendicitis by the sound of it, so keep her in prayer. We'll pray for her before we start the message. So if I'm searching around for some of my references, that's why, because I may have missed. My notes are a little more, were rushed, or it was later, let's put it that way. So, but it's good. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to pray for Michaela. And pray for her healing, and if she's having a surgery or anything like that, we pray for skill for the doctors, and that she would have your hand over her and a quick recovery. And Lord, as we gather and open your word, we pray that we would hear from you. We would be encouraged in our faith and our walk with you. We pray for the children downstairs, Lord, that they would just learn of your love and your grace and your truth and just have faith in you and grow in that all the days of their lives. And we so thank you for the children and pray that your hand would be over them and that you'd raise them up, the next generation, to follow you and be your witnesses and your servants in this world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so last week we started the book of 2 Timothy, and where did we get to? Verse 12. We finished on verse 12. And a little of the context or background, not too much. Our understanding, Paul's last writing, he's in prison, in Rome, in chains. We can tell, we'll see it in our text. He's chained. He's in a prison. He's in chains. It's a dark spot to be. And it just adds all the more weight to his words, or the words spoken by the Holy Spirit through him, as we look at what he's communicating and his example, Apostle Paul's example, while he's in such hardship. And so, of course, Timothy, younger than Paul, and Paul, he served with Paul. Paul's like a father to him, definitely a spiritual father to him, to Timothy. We saw in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul there giving instruction as he had left Timothy in Ephesus, to oversee the church there, the church being not just one, what we think of, church building with a congregation, but multiple home churches. And Paul left him there to oversee it, make sure they held fast to following the Lord. And one of the things we noted in our study of 1 Timothy is sound doctrine. Pay attention to what you believe and what you practice, and that's very much true for us today, and that's why we go through the Bible, we go through it book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We don't always have to do this. We can go to passages and look at them, different scriptures, but I can't emphasize enough the importance of having a practice of reading through or studying through the Bible, like start at the beginning of a book of the Bible and work through it to the end so that you get the context that it's written in. And also have a practice of you know, reading the whole Bible, like we don't have to start at Genesis and read right through consecutively, but have some plan to read the whole Bible. And I'm not going to try to discourage going from Genesis right through to Revelation, but saying you don't have to. But if we're going to read Timothy, we're going to read 2 Timothy, we're not going to start in chapter 4 and then move to chapter 1. And then it doesn't make sense. So that's why we do what we do and work through a book of the Bible. And that's not to say we would never do a topical sermon or something like that, but sound practice is what I'm saying. So 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, let's dive in. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So, as we're just talking about doctrine, what we believe, God's word, hold fast. As our text says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. And we know Paul was very consistent in his doctrine, in the gospel. So he says to Timothy, don't stray. Don't stray from sound words. Sound words being, let's call it what it is, the word of God. Don't stray from it. Hold fast to it. And another point in these verses, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And so I have good, strong, foundational beliefs, like the Word of God. Learn it. Like we start not knowing it at all, but learn it over time. Doesn't all happen in a day or a month or maybe a year, but be faithful, be consistent, and seek to learn and understand and obey and what God gives us as far as instruction and counsel, what he commits to us. Keep it. We need the Holy Spirit in order to do this. And it's very much... The key to being faithful in this is to be spirit-filled. And so we want to emphasize that. It says in Ephesians 5, be being filled. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And that the idea there is be being filled. It's like this needs to, it's an ongoing happening thing. And so... if you're not sure how that's working or is this happening, pray. Just pray. Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I'm not sure how this works. Help me. Trust that he'll help you. Talk to someone else about it as well, another believer. But certainly pray. Don't forget to pray. God's promised it. Talk to him about it. Say, Lord, this is your promise. Fill me with your Spirit. I want to walk in step with your Spirit. Otherwise, we start straying into, like, try harder, do better, try harder, do better. And not to say that we shouldn't try, but if we start heading into the legalism road, well, let's just say we don't want to go there. Verse 15. This you know, that all those in Asia... Asia being a Roman province, not what we consider Asia, have turned away from me, among whom are Phlegia, me? I jumped there. So when I have more time, I try and practice these words. I still don't get them right, but I didn't do that this week. So, and Hermogenes. So he says, all have turned away from me in Asia. So this is a province, the Roman province. It would have been in modern-day Turkey to us. And we stop here because Paul just said he's really encouraging Timothy to be faithful. You know, keep what is committed to you. That's instruction to us. Be faithful. And then he gives an example of a couple of people who were not faithful. They did not hold fast to the truth. They were unfaithful. They turned on Paul. And with that, the message, the gospel. And something to note here is even the apostles, like Paul, had disappointments. Like people let us down at times. We let people down at times. And this is a thing in Christian culture or churches. People get hurt and let down, and it's not trying to make excuses for those who hurt others. But these things will happen. And so I note here that Paul carried on. It didn't derail him in his faith. He carried on with what the Lord had called him to do. But it was hard. I mean, he says, all have turned away from me in the province of Asia. That's, okay, it's significant. He's mentioning it. So, why do you keep going? Because he knew who he was called to serve. And he knew that he was to be faithful to the Lord. And so hardship comes, suffering comes, disappointment comes. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Trust God. Trust God. Keep going. It's not an excuse to, it's so easy, or it seems to be in some cases so easy to, because I've heard it many times, well, I was hurt by a Christian, therefore I won't associate with the church. But the problem there is God commands fellowship with his people or amongst his people. So it's like the suffering causes, the hurt causes a desire to draw back and ultimately end up disobeying God. So that's what we don't want to do. If we suffer, it's okay. Jesus suffered. Look at the early church, all these examples. People suffered. The ones that did well were the ones that, it's not that they were perfect, but they kept coming back to faith and obedience and keeping going. What did Paul say? Forgetting what is behind, I press on for the upward call. And so he's in prison. And he's had people abandon him, and he's still marching on, serving the Lord. And notice, encouraging others. So what I see there is like we're going to get disappointed at times. Don't let that derail us. It doesn't mean we have to just put up with everything either, but the thing is, we are to seek and follow God. So never abandon that. Go to his word, look for his instruction in every and any situation, and pray to him about it. Verse 16. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. So there we see Paul in chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me in Ephesus. So here's, okay, there's been an example of a couple people unfaithful. And here's a faithful person, a faithful man. In contrast. And what did he do? We don't know to what the depths of the dungeon Paul was in. But we can tell when he says, this guy sought me out zealously, that he went to some effort to find Paul and seek him out and give him what help and encouragement he could. And Paul simply saying, I'm so thankful for this man. Lord bless him. Lord bless him for his heart and what he did. And grant him mercy on that day. And what day is that? That's the day we're in the presence of the Lord, or the day the Lord returns. And so a servant may not have been a well-known guy with a high position in the early church, but an important and effective and obedient, encouraging servant of the Lord. He lived up to his name. His name means helper or help bringer. And that's what he did. And when the Lord calls us to do that, that is a good thing. Whether people notice us or not, outside of maybe just a small number. I hope we all understand what a blessing it is when we are encouraged by someone, and then if we can bless someone else with that and honor the Lord as we do it, it's a good thing. Okay, into chapter 2 now. And we'll go partway through chapter 2. We won't tackle the whole thing here. But chapter 2 and verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's stop there. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So many times in the Bible, we are instructed, we see people in the Bible being instructed to be strong, be courageous, do not fear, do not be anxious, do not run, trust God. Joshua, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. I like going through Joshua so much. We could go through it again. However, there's quite a bit of the rest of the Bible we haven't gone through yet. But I really enjoyed our study through the book of Joshua. And even in chapter 1, there's multiple verses. But how about verse 9? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's a couple more times the Lord says basically the same thing to Joshua. And there's the promise there in chapter 1 of Joshua. The land's yours. But you're going to have to walk in it. And oh yeah, there is giants. And be of good courage. Why do you say that? Because they were tempted to be fearful. I'm sure there was moments that even Joshua went, What am I doing? Am I going to lead all these people to their death? But he would have to take that thought captive and go, the Lord told me to be strong and courageous. And he was, and many others with him. So we are encouraged to be strong and courageous. Here, the way Paul puts it to Timothy, I like this. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in grace. How are we strong in grace? Well, I would think of it this way. You'll build on the foundation of grace. We're saved by grace through faith. Like build on that foundation. Don't build on a foundation of I earn God's favor through my works or many other options we might come up with. But know that God loves you, that he's extended his grace to you, that Christ paid the debt for your sin, that we receive forgiveness and salvation through faith. And by having faith, that means trusting him. And that God is not only merciful to us, but he is gracious. Meaning, not only do we not pay the debt that we owe for sin, but he gives us all the riches of his inheritance in Christ Jesus. It's astounding. Be strong in grace. One commentator put it this way: there is nothing that makes us as strong as saying, I am a child of God in Jesus Christ, and I have the love and favor of God even though I don't deserve it. That is the strength that comes by grace. So be strong in grace. And wrapped up in all of this is we'll need strength that's beyond what we have in and of ourselves. Verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So saying, what you have heard from me, give this to others who are faithful and will give this away as well. There's very clear instruction here. This is a great verse. I really like it. Essentially, learn, be a learner. A disciple is a learner. We want to be disciples. A characteristic of a disciple of Jesus is they learn from him or learn from God. And so being taught, but then don't keep it to yourself. Like, it's not a secret. Give it away. One friend, we talk about spiritual things and bounce ideas around, and he'll say occasionally, now make sure you don't tell anyone. And it's like, of course I'll tell someone. But it's like, yeah, this is not a secret. Give it away. And this is a great check for us as well. Sometimes we think we know. It's like, do you know this? Someone could ask me, do you know this? Do you understand this biblical concept? And I can be like, yeah, absolutely. We got it nailed down. And I've had this happen. And then next comes, can you give it away? Can you explain it to someone else? Hang on. Now you got to think. Can I? And good if we can. But if we can't, it's a good check. It's like, well, I don't know this as well as I thought I'd. Or maybe it's just in my head. I haven't put this one into practice yet. So learn, but don't keep it to yourself. Give it away. To Timothy, and Timothy, this is true for all of us, but we recognize Timothy is a church overseer, right? So he's a church leader. And very important here is, this is an instruction, a command to Timothy from Paul. So make sure what you have heard from me, commit these to faithful men or women, for us, right? But so the context of what he's talking to Timothy, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So it's very important. And what we see here is four generations of people. Spiritually speaking, you've got Paul, you have Timothy, faithful men, and the ones they pass this along to, or teach it to, or share it with. And so this is a concept that I certainly didn't always understand, but as followers of Christ, as disciples, and then if we look at the Great Commission and being disciple makers, we're to take what we receive from the Lord, teach it to or commit it to others who are faithful. And faithful is important because to really have depth and really give instruction or help, there needs to be faithfulness. If there isn't faithfulness, then it's not going to go far. But so faithful men, and in all that, reminding them to repeat this process. And so it keeps going. And that is how the church, starting from just a few, swept across the Roman Empire, the early church, because they just kept investing. As one became a believer, they grew and matured in Christ, and they invested in someone else. They gave it away. And that person gave it away. And so on. And so this is something we are instructed to do. So this is a great verse to underline. Okay, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So Paul's going to draw some comparisons, three of them here. Starts with soldiers. We are to be like soldiers. And really we are, in the spiritual sense. There is a spiritual battle. Even apart from the spiritual battle in the spiritual realm, following Christ on this earth, it can be somewhat of a battle. And so we're to be like soldiers. There is a battle. We even have Ephesians 6, there's spiritual armor and weapons. We are to be familiar with them, know how to use them. That means just put them into practice. Probably we'll be less good with these things at the start than we will be later on. But learn it, put it into practice. So that's Ephesians 6. We won't get into that today, but being like soldiers. So, comparisons with being a soldier, and I've never been a soldier, but you can certainly imagine that there's hardship. So, like a soldier, be prepared to endure hardship. It's not necessarily going to be easy. And this isn't trying to paint a dark picture of the Christian life, but it's being realistic. It's not always going to be easy. But God will always be faithful. So keep pressing into him. Keep seeking him. So it can be hard. Be prepared to endure hardship. Hardship I have faced, more than some, much less than many others, for sure. But if there's a chance to be somewhat prepared, it's easier than when you're totally blindsided by it, although that does happen at times. But be prepared to endure hardship. Pay attention to the battle. Don't get caught up in distractions. Can you imagine a soldier on the front lines, I don't know, playing games on his phone? Something? I don't know. I haven't been on the front line. I have paintballed when my flank guy got distracted and was totally not paying attention and I got lit up by somebody from 8 feet away. And I have a scar to prove it. Don't get distracted in a battle. I'm sure that's got to be one of the very basics for being a soldier. Pay attention to the battle. And so it's like that in the Christian life. Paul's saying, you're going to endure hardship. Don't get distracted. Don't get caught up in the affairs of life that have nothing to do with the battle you're in. Like, pay attention to what's going on and obey your commanding officer. For us, that's Jesus. We find his instruction in God's word. And some might say, well, that sounds hard. Yep. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, which means die, and follow Jesus. It also sounds hard. But it is this is the Christian life. And it's also amazing. And the best life that we can live. Because it's, we talked about being under the banner of God. We've talked about that before. And when we pick up our, deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily and follow him, we're under God's banner. We're under his hand. It's a good place to be. Because whether we recognize there's a battle or not, there's a battle. So it's really good to recognize it, be prepared for it. And this is not to, when I say battle, it's not just when we think of the battle in the spiritual realm. It's very much the battle of dealing with our flesh, you know, dealing with the world. These are daily, maybe hourly battles that go on. So be strong in the grace of God. Be like a good soldier. And it's not always going to be comfortable. I was reading just a short thing from somebody this week, and one of the statements in it was, seeking comfort will kill your calling. And it was talking on this verse. I'm like, yeah, if I seek comfort, if that is my primary goal, that's for sure. I'll just say for sure for me. That's not going to lead me to where God's directing. You know, I hope there's some comfort along the way, but that's not what we're seeking. We're seeking the Lord, his direction, his will. Jesus suffered. We will experience some suffering. And none of it's licensed to reject him. Instead, we are to press in to him. So go where God directs. Find comfort in him. Be like a good soldier. Verse 5. Like an athlete. So verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So with an athlete, we can draw some comparisons. Like an athlete has to commit. Think Olympics, or there's lots of different things. An athlete needs to commit to training, be disciplined, and also compete according to the guidelines for what they're competing in. They compete according to the rules. And so, yeah, we could pick all kinds of different examples of different athletics. And in basketball, you're not allowed to just tackle the guy with the ball. You got to compete according to the rules. And there's lots of comparisons we could draw. So, what does that mean? We are to compete or live by the guidelines God sets out so as not to be disqualified. And think also commitment, training, discipline, these kinds of things. Understand we are talking about all this like under the umbrella, if you will, of being strong in God's grace. So it's not, if we're only talking about discipline and training and, you know, hardship, pressing on, all that without the grace of God, then it will become works and legalism, and then it goes to a bad place. So this is all under, we understand we're saved by grace. We understand, like Romans 12:1 that we looked at, what is our reasonable service to God? The NIV puts it, this is your spiritual act of worship. So what is a reasonable response to what Christ has done for us? It is. And here's these analogies or pictures. Be a good soldier. Follow the direction of your commanding officer. To be a good athlete, compete according to the guidelines and be disciplined, train. Now another one, verse 6. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So, now a farmer. Oh, we're to be like a farmer. He said, be Timothy, be like a soldier, an athlete, a farmer. Expect to work hard. Farming's not easy. My background is fishing. I can't stand farming. It's hard. You know, it's hard work. I didn't say I can't stand it. I'm not good at it. Hard work. And then it says, a hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So what does that mean? The idea is, and think some of the stuff we've gone through this morning already. Timothy, an overseer. Oh, Timothy, commit what you've heard from me to faithful men. Like, and pay attention. And okay, there's actually a lot on his plate. There could be a lot on our plate as well. But underline this. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Don't go get so busy feeding someone else that you forget to feed yourself, because that won't work out well. And this is very important. It is good to invest in others spiritually, but we must receive from the Lord ourselves. So put very simply, it is a very good thing, and I encourage you to encourage someone else to daily get into God's Word. Like daily, read a portion of the Bible, take something away from it, pray, but also do this yourself. It'd be great if you got 20 people to do this consistently, say if I did, but I'm so busy that I never spend time with the Lord myself. This will not work out well. So it's not about being selfish. It's about, I also need to be fed. Like, you also need to be fed. We need to depend upon the Lord. And it can be a danger where sometimes a person gets so busy ministering, their own relationship with the Lord can start to crumble. And so, like the hardworking farmer, partake of the crops first, which is really saying, it's God first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And also love your neighbor as yourself. So relationship with God first. And then carry on out of that. Okay, verse 7. Consider what I say. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So we'll stop here for a moment. Simply because I believe it's easy for us at times to quickly say, yep, I know this, I got it, and move on. I don't know if any of you have ever, like in the workforce or somewhere in life, I'm not talking about church things, spiritual things, but just been trying to train someone inexperienced, younger. Every time you try and teach them something, their response is, I know. Maybe you've never had that, and be thankful. Because that wears thin. And it's like, I know. And clearly, the actions say, no, you have no idea. Consider. So I was thinking of this, going, you know, this is wise instruction from Paul to Timothy. Right? Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. At times, we need to slow down and consider the instruction we're being given. Consider what the Lord is saying to us and pray for understanding. And just simply slow it down a bit. I'm encouraged in lots of places in the Bible to meditate upon God's word. And it's that kind of idea, like just slow it down. Really consider it. Don't just like, oh yeah, I know, and we're gone. We're on to the next thing. And then it's gone. Like it's gone. It's out of our mind. So consider. Okay, 8 and 9. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. So, it's like Paul circles back, touches on the gospel again, which is a good model for us. Like in our different discussions about different things, even spiritual things, just like keep the gospel in mind. Like it doesn't hurt to circle back to the foundation, like the good news of Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, the debt that's been paid, the grace we've received, and so on. And especially when we start getting into, like, I would say, periphery things or not main things. Like let's keep the main thing. Like, let's never lose sight of that. And sometimes we do, like in 1 Timothy, there's times, honestly, we can get caught up in useless wranglings about all kinds of stuff. And it's like, okay, what's important? What's really important? So the gospel, Paul is 100% clear on the gospel. The apostles were. We need to be as well. So when we look at things like, okay, knowing scripture, that explains the gospel. Like, we need to know it, not just so we can share it, also so we know it. We need to know it first and then also be able to share it with someone else. Verse 9, we see Paul is sure of the gospel, but he did suffer because of it, because he shared it. He was in chains, we see again, but the gospel was not chained. The word of God is not chained. No one can chain the word of God. For us, it's just share it and let God's word not return void, as Isaiah 55 says. It cannot be chained. We could be chained. Maybe some of us, I don't know, Canada, who knows where this is going. Some of us may be chained one day or behind bars. I don't know. The Lord knows. Hopefully he takes us home soon. But the word of God will never be chained. We know that. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul had And we are to have this eternal perspective that sees the bigger picture than our own, you know, the small picture we have. Eternity is a real thing. And the family of God is real, and it's big. And the gospel is powerful. And in all of this, Paul's saying, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, or the chosen, we could say, that they also may obtain salvation. The more people that get into heaven, the better. And if our suffering, like Paul says, my suffering somehow helps that, good, it's worth it. If the Lord wants me to be in these places where I may suffer, good, I'll do it. There's a bigger picture than just what I can see. And he's got that picture of salvation and heaven. Salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's like this seeing more than just the material. All to say, Paul had counted the cost and decided to suffer for Christ, if that should be the case. He counted the cost. And we may suffer. To some degree, we will. Here's the thing. It's not to derail our faith. We are to press in to God. It's not, if we suffer, it's not because God doesn't love us. Now, some suffering, it is possible to bring some things on ourselves, I believe, through disobedience. But I would utterly reject the idea that if our faith is where it should be, we will never suffer. Because some think that. It's certainly not true. Jesus suffered. The apostles suffered. We may suffer also. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. If we experience suffering, if God allows that, what are we to do? If we actually go, what should I do? Commit your soul to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So keep following him. Keep serving him. Keep seeking him. Okay, a couple more verses. We'll finish up. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So this is thought to be an early Christian hymn. And Paul states this here, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. What does Paul say? Philippians, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If he wants me here, good. If I get to go to heaven, better. The living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, like Romans 12:1. So if we die with him, we live with him. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily and follow him. So it's a good thing. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. We're called to endure, to persevere. I like the word faithful. God is faithful. We are called to be faithful. We're not perfect at it. When we fail, when we fall, get up. It's like, I like the picture of get up, dust yourself off. Maybe we limp around a bit because we're wounded, but just get up and seek the Lord. The enemy will always say, God doesn't want to hear from you. You're worthless. You're hopeless. You're a sinner. You did. Get up. Go to God. So endure. Be faithful. If we endure, we'll be rewarded. Heaven's going to be incredible. We'll reign with him. Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years on this earth. I don't know what all that's going to look like for us exactly. Let's just say awesome. We know that. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. It was just running through these points. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So, okay, Peter, we understand he denied, but then he came back. But our lives are to be ones where we are not ashamed of him. Again, if we have moments, repent, receive forgiveness from the Lord, and don't deny him. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. If we are not faithful, God will still be faithful. And that's very comforting to know that if we fail to be faithful, God doesn't immediately go, that's it, you've done it, you had your chance or chances, and now that's it. He doesn't. And so this is really important to have it like stated like this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He does not change. And that's an awesome thing to know. So the start of chapter 2, we started there with the grace of Jesus, and here partway through the chapter, and where we're going to end, it's on the faithfulness of God. And I like those two things. Without God's grace and his faithfulness, we would be lost and without hope. But he is faithful. He does extend grace to us. And may the Lord help us to be faithful in following him. So quite a bit in this chapter. I pray that the Lord, that the Holy Spirit would impress upon each of us, you know, those one or two things specific to our lives that are like, okay, this is something I can take, I've heard from the Lord, and apply or be encouraged in my life. So let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. What an awesome book of the Bible to go through. So we're so thankful for the instruction that we receive from you through your word. Help us, Lord, to be people who learn from you, who are teachable, who learn, and also commit the things that we learn to others, who will go on to teach others. And Lord, we just see there that picture of the Great Commission in action, disciples and disciple makers being made. So Lord, may this be the case in our fellowship and in our circles, that we would multiply disciples or followers of Christ. And Lord, in all of this, we pray for your guidance, your strength. Help us, Lord, as we face each day. And I pray especially if for anyone here is really, facing the tough times, Lord, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, really just emphasize or make clear what it is to be strong in your grace. And we need your help to fully understand that. So we pray that that would be the case for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, everyone. Have a blessed week ahead, and we pray for an abundance of grace, God's grace in your lives. If you'd like prayer, come on up to the front at my left, and we'll pray for you.